The message this morning is entitled, The Faith of Jesus Christ. And it begins, if you'll look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, But when Peter was come to Antioch, this is the Apostle Peter, in a place called Antioch. Paul says, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain men came from James. James was the pastor at the church in Jerusalem. And certain came from James, so these were Jewish believers. They came from James. Peter did eat with Gentiles. Now you know under the old covenant that was forbidden. Because of the old covenant dietary laws. And in order for a Gentile to have fellowship, eating together meant fellowship. And in order for the Gentiles to have fellowship with the Jews, they had to virtually become a Jew. The males would have to be circumcised. They'd have to take the vows and become a Jew. Other than that, the Jews were forbidden to sit down and have a meal with the Gentiles, and especially to eat their food because of the dietary laws. But as we know, in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those old covenant dietary laws and that separation of Jew and Gentile had been abolished. Because salvation by the grace of God is for Jew and Gentile. The Jew, naturally, is no closer to God than the Gentile, naturally. And if anybody's in the kingdom of God, if anybody's saved, Jew or Gentile, it's by the grace of God through the blood and righteousness of Christ. That's what Peter knew. It's what he believed. But being human, like we all are, when he saw these Jewish believers coming down from James, he got up from eating with Gentiles and removed himself as if to say, these Gentiles were not doing the right thing. They're not as saved as we are. They're not as righteous as we are. And so Paul said he withstood him to the face. He says in verse 12, For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Peter did. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He was afraid of what these Jews might think. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. There were other Jewish believers there that followed Peter. So Peter wasn't, you know, he wasn't alone in this. Insomuch that Barnabas, one of Paul's closest brothers and friends, was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now there's the issue. What Peter did. You say, well, he may not admit anything about it. No, Paul knew better than that. He did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. What he did brought shame and reproach upon the gospel. Again, as if to say that these believers aren't as saved or aren't as holy or aren't as righteous as we are, we who are Jews. And he said, I said unto Peter before them all publicly, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now think of what he's doing here. Why are you implicating here by your actions that these Gentiles are doing wrong when they're not? By eating their food or whatever. Why are you saying by your actions that they're not doing what God commands? Indicating that they're sinning just by sitting down and eating their food. And so he says, He said, thou being a Jew, livest after, in verse 14 rather, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, In other words, you eat with Gentiles normally. And not as do the Jews. Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, Paul's not saying we're not sinners, but we're Jewish sinners, not Gentile sinners. Verse 16, knowing this. Now, this is where we want to get to the meat of the matter. Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, different translations of the Bible will change the word of. Notice there in verse 16, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Some translations will change it to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how do you determine which should it be? Well, it depends on what it's talking about. First of all, in this verse, he's talking about how sinners are justified. Upon what ground? It's not by our works. It's not by what we do or what we don't do. First of all, understand again, what does it mean to be justified? It means to be forgiven of all of our sins. Upon what basis, upon what ground is a sinner forgiven of all his or her sins? To be justified is to be declared righteous in the sight of God. This is God's judgment of his people. He declares his people righteous. Now, upon what ground, upon what basis does God declare me, you, righteous? According to the law. It's not by what we do. It's not by what we don't do. And it's certainly not any, has nothing to do with what we eat or don't eat. So what is the basis? The basis here is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, meaning his faithfulness to do what God required him to do in order for his people who were given to him before the foundation of the world. What Christ had to do, he had to be faithful to do it in order to justify God's people. And the Bible states clearly that we're justified by Christ's faithfulness to do what? To satisfy the justice of God as our surety, our substitute, and our redeemer. Look over at Philippians chapter 3. So how do you determine whether it should be faith of Christ or faith in Christ? The context tells you. The Greek word could be translated either way. Do we have faith in Christ? Yes, we do. And Paul mentioned that in Galatians 2:16. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. We do believe in him. But we're not justified before God by our believing. You understand that? That's so important. When the Bible speaks of justified by faith or justification by faith, it's not saying that our justification is by our believing or that God justifies us based upon our believing or even by means of our believing. It's simply saying when we're justified by faith, many times the context will tell you it means simply we're justified by Christ because Christ is the object of our faith. And the faith of God's elect is the promise that God has made to every one of his people of salvation by Christ. By God-given faith, we receive him we come to know him and we believe in him. But when it comes to the ground of justification, it's not our faith in Christ, it's his faith to do what he accomplished on the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection. Look at Philippians chapter 3. You have the same kind of construction here in verse 8 and 9. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." His faithfulness. Not my works, his works. You see that? And then he says, "the righteousness which is of God by faith." That is, which we receive by faith. The same thing over in Romans. Turn to Romans 3 and verse 21. And look at the same kind of construction here. In verse 24. Verse 21 rather. Now Paul had been saying here that we're not justified by the works of the law, by our works. He says, "but now," verse 21, "the righteousness of God without the law," that is without our works of the law, "is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ." This is a righteousness that comes to us by Christ's faithfulness to do what he promised to do. His obedience unto death for the sins of his people. And he says it's the faith of Jesus Christ unto and on upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. The same kind of construction. Now go back to Galatians 2. The Bible tells us, just go over one page there. Look at Galatians 3 and verse 10. Listen to what it says here. Galatians 3:10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Now, who is of the works of the law? Sinners trying to establish their own righteousness before God. Sinners trying to work their way into God's favor. He said, "you're of the works of the law, you're under a curse." What is that curse? "Well, it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." What is that telling us? If we're trying to make ourselves righteous enough by our works to be in God's favor, we have to keep the law perfectly. And we can't do it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But look at verse 11 of Galatians 3. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith." Now, how does that mean? What does that mean? The justified live by looking to and resting in Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse 12 says, "the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." If you're going to be saved by the law, then you've got to keep the law. And if you don't keep it, what does that say? You're condemned. But look at verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." How was Christ made a curse for us? Our sins were imputed to him. And he went to the cross and died for those sins. His righteousness is imputed to us. Look back at Galatians 2. Look at verse 17. Now, those who preach salvation by the works of the law most always believe that man can conquer sin by his efforts. Well, I've got news for you. You can't do that. I can't do that. Only two types of people on this earth. Sinners lost in their sins, sinners saved by grace, but still sinners. Isn't that right? You can't conquer it. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we need Christ. And so those who are trying to be saved by their works, they can't understand how in the world can anybody conquer sin if you don't believe that you can work your way into that state. And this is what Paul's addressing here in verse 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, meaning we lay hold of Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Well, if I'm justified in Christ, forgiven of all my sins by his blood, declared righteous before God by his righteousness imputed, if that still leaves me to be a sinner, then is Christ promoting sin? Does that make him the minister of sin? And Paul says, God forbid. Verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Paul's saying, if I go back, if in preaching Christ as my only way of salvation and justification before God, if I go back to the law, then I'm just promoting sin again. That which I seek to destroy by preaching Christ who fulfilled the law. You mean I'm going to go back and preach the law now? You know, there are preachers who say, well, we're justified by God's grace, but we're sanctified by our works. That's a minister of sin. So how's that taken care of? Look at verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. What a statement. I'm dead to the law, he's saying. Well, what does that mean? That means the law has no hold on me. The law cannot curse me. The law cannot condemn me. The law cannot command me in the sense of trying to make myself righteous. Isn't that something? If I were of the law, I'd be cursed. But I'm dead to the law. Now, how did I get that way? He says, I, through the law, am dead to the law. Well, look over at Romans chapter 7. How did Paul become dead to the law? Through the law. That is, by means of the law being satisfied. Look at Romans 7 and verse 4. He says, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law, dead to sin, by the body of Christ. By the death of Christ. Not so as to encourage you to sin, but that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We became dead to the law, and even dead to sin, by the body of Christ. Christ, my surety. Christ, my substitute. Christ, my redeemer. And look at verse 20 of Galatians 2. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That means when he died for me. When he was buried for me. When he arose again for me. He's my surety. my representative, my substitute, my redeemer. And when he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he arose again, I arose again. And that's what Paul says here. He says, yet not I. I live. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live. I've been born again. I live spiritually. I was dead. Now I live. Yet not I. Well, what are you saying, Paul? Are you speaking out of both sides of your mouth, contradicting? No. Here's what he's saying. I died with Christ, but I'm alive spiritually, but I'm not the source of that life. I'm not the power of that life. Christ is. He said, but Christ liveth in me by his Spirit and by his Word. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faithfulness to save me, to keep me, to bring me to glory. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do I believe in him? Yes, I do. And that's the gift of God. But my hope and foundation is his faithfulness to save me, to keep me, and to bring me to glory. Now, he says in verse 21, I don't frustrate the grace of God. I don't make void the grace of God. Well, how's that possible? Well, he says, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'm telling you this. I'm righteous in God's sight. That standing did not come to me by anything I have done, will do, or trying to do. It's all Christ. And if I were to stand before you and preach righteousness by my works, that's the equivalent of saying Christ came to die for nothing. That's how serious this is. Turn over to Galatians 5. Now, Paul is very careful to tell his hearers that this kind of grace does not give us a license to sin, but it gives us liberty to obey. Motivated by grace, love, and gratitude. And that's liberty. That's real liberty. And he says in verse 1 of Galatians 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. What does he mean? Well, these Jewish professors, they sought to impose the Jewish rite of circumcision on the male believers, claiming that if you're not circumcised, you're not right with God. Paul says, if you be circumcised for that reason, Christ will profit you nothing. That's a denial of Christ. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. If circumcision makes you right with God, you've got to keep the whole law. He says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you, for whosoever you are justified by the law, for you're fallen from grace. You deny grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now that's talking about our believing in Christ. Waiting is an act of faith. We're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith in Christ. Christ is coming again. And all who stand before God at judgment in him have that hope of righteousness. But it's all by his works and not by our works. Okay. Let's just stand and we'll close with prayer if you don't mind. And that'll conclude our service. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your mercies to us. We're thankful for your gospel of your grace that leads us to Christ for all life and righteousness and forgiveness, that leaves us no hope within ourselves, but gives us that hope of righteousness by faith. We pray your forgiveness by his blood. We pray, dear Lord, that you would bring us closer to thee through the word by the power of the Spirit. Help us throughout this week. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.